Files. I'm Mount Michaels here with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Hey, Joe, nice to see you.
I tell you, man, if I can get one computer to work, you know, decently, I'd be a happy person. Like, what the fuck? I come in, turn on the computer that I've still had problems with. Lenovo, don't ever buy one. I hear great things. I buy it. I had to send it back. Oh, we had everything fixed. It would shoot off the internet. It kept doing it. Send it in again. Now it does it less frequently, but it still does it. Now it's like the audio doesn't seem to work. It's like I don't know. What the fuck? So now I'm using my old computer that I have to use the portable keyboard because my keyboard doesn't work. And it's really slow, and it's like it's on its last legs. But we can get a picture when we got sound. So I guess we're good until the camera decides to shoot off, which was the problem before, that it would just shoot off randomly. So.
Oh, man.
Please donate. GoFundMe for Joe's new computer. Because, you know, I see somebody's trying to GoFundMe to start their own business and wrestling school. It's like, wow. So you don't even want to, like, invest in your own thing. You're trying to get people to give you money. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, there's a one way to do it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of wrestling and the school, it was a New Year's resolution this past weekend. Some good stuff going on coming out of that. First, let's just start with that WWE ID match. The WWE ID match was pretty, Sam's a pretty big dude.
That's the only thing. I was like, that's the first thing I said. I'm like, man, this is one big motherfucker. Like, he's got to be 6'6", 6'7", easy, but he's a wide body too. So it's like, he is just massive.
Yeah. And, it was, again, there are certain things, obviously, in these ID matches that they're looking for. So, it's not like you're putting it together. It's not like the guys are necessarily putting it together. They know what their mission is, and the tapes go back to the office. So, you know, in the end, Mathers put in a good showing, and then kind of got his ass kicked a little bit at the end too. So it was a nice little, nice little way to see how these guys are being utilized and how they're being kind of conditioned into the style of the WWE, which is, really cool to see out here. And then, you know, you had a huge match with another guy who's been wanting to get out here for a long time, Vinny Pacifico and Greg Sharp. And man, it didn't disappoint, man. I thought Vinny is everything that he, his reputation precedes, and couldn't have put her with a better guy in Greg Sharp. And man, Greg continues to just look impeccable.
Well, you know, Greg Sharp's Greg Sharp, man. It's like, you know, when it's the younger guys that you want to give them the best opportunity to succeed, you put him in with Gregory Sharp. And, you know, that's why it's like, you know, with this ID program, I hate to keep tooting the horn, but it's like you put Bodie in with a cartwheel and it's like, man, both these guys are great. You put in Sharp, put in a Remy, you put in a Vandegrift, you put in a Damian Drake. All these guys are tremendous. And it's like, again, I like to toot the horn of the school and things like that, but it's hard for me to believe that any other school is producing that. But then not only producing from the school, but then bringing in a Vinny Pacifico and bringing in Cartwheel when it's not an ID match and doing the ID match and, you know, using these young guys, the classes, the Devin Renos, and keep going out there and finding talent, because there's so much of it. It's hard, because there's people who hit you up and it's like, man, there just isn't room. And it's like, guys that are really not that experienced yet, it's like, yeah, hit me up another time. It's like, we have a school, we have a promotion, and there's too much going on for us to try to squeeze you in. You know, at Future Shock, we got a couple of more debuts, you know. After the incident, you know, Jonathan, who's been our referee for a while, and he's been with us a good amount of time, he's getting an opportunity. And, you know, what came out of the Tag Gauntlet match was some issues that they took offense to Jonathan, and Ricky Tenacious came out. So for Future Shock coming up on the 8th, Jonathan is getting a tag team partner, and he's calling out Greatness and Tenacious. So, you know. And as we talked about, we knew Jonathan was going to be on the card. That was his debut. And I think Rick feels that now that Jonathan went from referee to thinking he's a wrestler, that, you know, maybe he's not focused on the job at hand.
Could you, Joe, say that maybe Ricky thinks he's a, I don't know, promoter, and maybe we'll see Joe versus Ricky one day?
Nah, we'll let Rocky handle that. Rocky likes to get physical, so, you know. He is undefeated in FSW, so.
Right.
2-0.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think that, honestly, if I'm Jonathan, to be able to get a chance to do a tag match with both Ricky and Brandon, that's a pretty good first match. And, you know,
yeah, and that's the thing, you know, Ricky, you know, everybody sees all the comedy, the flair, the singing, but he can wrestle.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes he's his own worst enemy, because he's so focused on entertaining people, which is weird because people hate him. But he still tries really hard to do that. And a lot of times it lacks focus. And that's why if you look at his win-loss record, it ain't very good.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to put up the graphic on AEW. It'd be like, wait, everyone else has, you know, 32 wins, 6 losses, and then it's like Ricky doesn't have a graphic. We also talking about killing it, man. Bryce and Vandegrift. You know, if you look back 5 years, can you point to two guys who probably have been on the same trajectory in terms of development as those two guys, and how good, you know, it was to see those two really put on a hell of a match?
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, obviously we liked Matt when he first came in. He trained at Santino Brothers years ago. And then he came to FSW, and he was just this unpolished gem that, you could see he did some good things. He had size on him. And for a guy his size, was able to do some tremendous things. And Matt lacked, you know, a look. He lacked being in great physical shape. He lacked a personality. But there was still something about him that stood out, that kind of overtook what he was lacking. And then he worked on certain things to, you know, get in better shape and have cool gear and looking like that aerial chemist that he turned himself into. You know, Bryce Saturn was a guy in Arizona, and I knew of him. He was friends with, you know, Evan Daniels, things like that. But you hear good things, similar to when you heard about a guy like Watson years ago. And it was that's more of the trajectory of who I look at in terms of Bryce Satter. You know, Watson was a skinny kid, you know, and I thought he was far greener than people talked about him, because in Phoenix at that time, they didn't have, you know, you might have Hammerstone, you might have Graves, but you didn't have a lot after that. And Watson became that young rising star. And then Bryce Satter kind of took over that mantle. Watson moved to Vegas, and, you know, look at him now. And then Bryce is a guy, as I've told the story, it was like he was wrestling a whole bunch of other places in town. And it was like, hey, no offense, bro, but it's like, you know, I have enough of my own guys that I don't love that, and they do it. But they're my guys, and I train them, and they pay us to be there, and they're FSW guys. So you're still going to use the majority of them, but I really don't have use for you or Damian Desire, because Damian Desire was the first who basically reached out because Jacob Austin Young was his friend. Right. And Jacob Austin Young, you know, put him over. It's like, hey, I got this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. But in all honesty, again, he's another guy. You could see him everywhere in town. I'm like, well, I'm trying to bring new faces. I got a guy like Limelight who's not going to work anywhere else. So you want to see Danny Limelight, you can see him anywhere else. But when you have 10 guys you could see everywhere else, you know, then what is the point? You know what right. I'm saying? It's like you're not exclusive to me, and not that, hey, I'm going to sign you to this contract to do it, but this is how it works. You know, I got 40 guys already. Who am I going to put you in over
right.
that's not going to be seen somewhere else? Like, if you don't come to my show and see Damian Desire today, you could went to that other show tomorrow and see him. So now if you like the guy, you got to make that choice. So it's like he decided to make that commitment. So it's like, okay, cool. You know, let's see what we can do. And we utilized him, and then, you know, Bryce.
Oh, and of course, now Joe gets disconnected. and you know, Bryce has come a long way. We'll get Joe back here in a second, but it's very encouraging to see, you know, these guys go from where they've started a few years back and just grow and develop. And it's amazing to watch the growth. And that's one of the best things about independent wrestling in general is, you know, to see the guys who are very serious about where they want to go in their careers. And, you know, we see a lot of that out here in FSW and Las Vegas. One of the more disturbing elements of this past weekend show was the fact that Gypsy Mac had a match with Alice Blair for the FSW women's title. And Gypsy ended up winning the match via disqualification. And unfortunately, there was... Oh, I think we have Joe back. Joe?
If you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Can't see me.
Yeah, that's all right. It's kind of better on the eyes.
Yeah, you know.
But, you know, finish your thought on Bryce, and then we'll get talking about Gypsy Mac.
Yeah, and Bryce was a guy who was considered one of the top guys in Phoenix. So, but it came the same situation. And we used him, and then it was like, okay, an opportunity arose. It was like, so I put him on Future Shock, and he wrestled Ice Williams. And it was like, wow. From when I remember seeing Bryce months ago, it was like he really, you could see how much time he spent in the gym. You could see how much time he bettered his look, because he was a guy And again, we know there's a million guys who can wrestle, but you got to look to part two in if you want to keep rising the ranks. And he got himself, you know, similar to his good friend Evan Daniels, who, you know, got themselves in some of the best shapes of their lives. And it was like, okay, so we had Bryce in different situations, and it was like, you know, I'm really liking what I see. So here was a guy who, as again, when guys go out of their way and they show a commitment and a loyalty to me, I'm going to make sure I'm not going to miss the boat on somebody who's doing everything necessary to do things for us specifically and then not take advantage of it in terms of, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to give you this opportunity. Hey, can you make this show? Because it's easy to find a spot. It's like a lot of my younger guys, and I'm trying to use my hand signals, but that don't work. A lot of the younger guys are at a level that aren't really ready for high octane type shows. They're not ready to be on a casino show.
Right.
But I could put in Bryce Saturn at the Silverton, and he's able to, you know, perform at a top level. Right. And that's what you're looking for. So as much as you like the younger guys, well, you know, maybe they're ready for that pre-kickoff show, or maybe they're ready to be in a battle royal, or sure, they maybe they're ready to be in a rumble, but they're not ready to be in a four-way scramble with Matt Vandergriff or Bodie or, you know, the No Limits champion or the Nevada State champion, because Bryce Saturn could go with, you know, in either division and walk out of there as a champion. Or he could wrestle and he's going to give you a really good tag match with Evan Daniels or with Damian Desire. So yeah, it's like, hey, you know, this guy is a keeper.
Yeah.
Which again makes it more difficult. You know, it's great. It's like, oh, okay, Sharp's out of the country for a couple months. It's like no escapes coming up. And it's like, we have probably five or six matches that are set. And it's a seven match card because of the cage. And it's like, okay, well, what's Bodie doing? What's Gregory Sharp doing? What is Bryce Saturn doing? What is, you know, the Pretty City Express? What is the Golden Era? You know, we obviously know that coming up, we have Sky High versus Makeshift Chemistry. Hey, there's one. You got Danny Limelight and his crew involved with Dice Williams. That's definitely going to be something. Gypsy Mac and Alice Blair, that's something. You know, we're building to a couple other things. Matt Vandergriff's going to defend the Nevada State Championship. Damian Drake's going to defend the No Limits Championship. So it's like, Remy Marcel, Clutch, Bateman, Jay Vidal, you know, that's like 12 people for one or two matches, you know.
Yeah.
And I also got to understand budget. I'm not going to just stick Bateman and Jay Vidal and all these guys in these in a 10-man tag and pay out a bunch of money for a match that's going to be forgotten.
Right.
Minutes after it happens, because it's just a fucking hodgepodge to get people on a show. And right, you know, sometimes, you know, guys, Kenny King, you know, it's like, of course Kenny wants to work any major show we do. So the question becomes where we're going. Hey, somebody was out. Hey, Jacob Austin Young was in Japan. Well, I think he's going back to Japan. But what if he's not in Japan and he wants to wrestle? I'm like, I'm not going to put Jake on the show. Of course I am. So it's like, Jesus, what the fuck? You know, there's so much, like I said, and with the talent. So it's like, well, yeah, you know, what about the mariachis and the younger guys in FSW who've done well that there might not even be a pre-show match for these guys?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, there's just an abundance of guys who are good enough, who are ready, and who always perform well when given the opportunity. So it's a scientific experiment that sometimes, you know, it goes perfectly well and sometimes it blows up, but for the most part, you know, you just have to keep trying to balance out you know, the pieces to make that work. So when you popped out for a second, I think one of the most disturbing things that happened was the fact that you know, Gypsy Mac lost her, well, won the match, but you know, it was a DQ. Bateman and Delgado decided to start roughing up Gypsy Mac, and Dante came out to help. And then what pursued to happen then was Gypsy Mac ended up on the outside of the ring, and a lurking Damian Drake saw his opportunity. And I guess, Joe, what happens to a promoter when a wrestler is physically kidnapped and taken away? And
police. First off, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Because I just switched computers, by the way.
Yeah.
So I went back to the new computer that now magically somehow is working. So, but yes, I did hear everything you say. And, you know, I can't even say those two. It's those three over the past year. And, you know, obviously they took a detour, but it seems like all roads are leading back to this trio.
Yeah.
And, you know, Damian Drake's the hunter. You know, makes me think of the old Dawkins song from 1989 because I still hear it on Sirius XM. But, you know, he talked about basically collecting trophies. And, you know, he did it slowly. And now it seems like he got his next trophy, which seems to be Gypsy Mac. But I saw that there was a video where she was in the venue the next day. So, you know, I'm not sure if Damian Drake is enamored with Gypsy Mac, because there was a lot going on, and some could argue that he got her out of harm's way.
Sure.
And I've heard rumors that Damian Drake feels that a guy like Dante King has been incapable of protecting his girl. As we've seen early on, when last year Dante King, I believe, wrestled Damian Drake in the I Quit match, I believe was No Escape. Am I correct? I don't even remember. But I know it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
So, but the thing was, Damian Drake took out Gypsy Mac. Basically, that's how he won the match. And since then, we've seen Bateman, Andy Delgado, Raw Reese, Danny Limelight. And, you know, in this business, it's a business of receipts. You do to me, I have to come back to do to you. And I haven't seen a lot of that. And I'm not throwing Dante King under the bus, but Gypsy kind of got her revenge on a guy like Raw Reese. Right. It wasn't Dante who did it. She did it. So it's going to be interesting to see, because on February 15th, Dante King has requested a microphone, and he will actually be opening the show at Valentine's Day Massacre to address the situation that occurred at New Year's Resolution, because it doesn't seem like a lot was resoluted at that event.
Yeah, it's definitely compelling storytelling and interesting to see where this is going. And also questions, what the hell is going on Patrick Street? when you see videos of people walking out with unconscious females to the music from Halloween. So Very, very creepy, man.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say I've seen everything, but I can't because this week has been crazy, to say the least. You know, we announced officially at that show, the Chris Bay benefit show.
Yeah.
And, you know, the inbox is insanity. And people who I brought, there's some people that hit me up that literally I haven't seen in a few years at an FSW show, who've already sent me money for front row tickets for the event. So we're already under the conclusion that we cannot run it at the FSW arena. This show is going to be too big. The minute we posted it on Twitter, it got picked online, as you can see. You know, as I said, I reached out to Sanjay Dutt because I had reached out to Brian Cage and John Morrison before I had a date. So they were like, yeah, count us in, you know, let me know the date. Brian Cage, I hit back up, talked to him on the phone, and he thought he was going to be in Australia, and he thought he was leaving that night, but it turned out he wasn't. So he confirmed. So then I confirmed Sean T, who is the announcer for Revolver with Sammy Callahan, and he lives in Vegas, and he knows Chris through TNA and all that stuff. So he reached out and committed because Sammy has a show the 22nd in Iowa, which features Trey Miguel and Ace Austin, who now committed to be at the show on the 23rd because I didn't want to run it the same day, obviously.
Right.
So then after Sean T committed, Brian Cage texted me again and said, hey, Melissa Santos would love to be the ring announcer. And I'm like, well, we'll make it work. The more the merrier. We're going to have some fun. So we got a ring announcers, two ring announcers. Then I get reached out by someone who I've worked with for many, many years, referee Justin Borden. And Justin and Rick Knox worked for me not only at the IWF and the Phoenix shows that we ran. Rick Knox was our referee when Matt Hardy won the FSW Heavyweight Championship. Right. So Justin was like, hey, I'd like to offer my services, you know, if I'm welcome. I'm like, bro, you're always welcome, Justin. Thank you. We appreciate it. He sends me a message 45 minutes later. Hey, Knox is down. He's going to be there too. So AEW referee Rick Knox is going to be there along with Cody and Amber. You know, our crew is going to be there. So, you know, everybody's doing it for the benefit of Chris. So then, I believe I talked about it on the podcast, I hit up Sanjay Dutt, and when he tried to get me, I'm still waiting to hear back about Morrison on the date, which I'm assuming that if John Morrison comes, he will bring his wife, Taya. Well, we kind of have a ready-made match if we got Taya versus Brittany Brooks would already be set. You know, that's the one you could put, mark it down, good to go. Okay. Right. So then I hit up Sanjay because I wanted someone specific. And I'm like, hey, if you can hit up Shane Strickland. And he's like, yeah, no problem. I'll see if Shane wants to do it. Literally a day later, I get a Facebook message from Shane Strickland. Because Shane's worked a couple of meccas before. He worked my IWF shows. And what's funny is Sanjay hadn't even reached out to Strickland yet. And Shane's like, hey, Joe, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I'd really like to work the Chris Bay benefit show. I'm like, I don't want any pay. You know, just, you know, get me there. Make sure you get me a place, to, you know, get me a hotel, which it's a Sunday. Later, yesterday, having a big meeting about maybe moving the venue to somewhere we've never done before, but they're interested in doing a Mania party and a after party. It turns out it was like, okay, so we have an opportunity possibly to move the venue. So Shane Strickland's in. So after that, I go to the school yesterday. And who do I see there? I'm like, oh, there's Zoe Stark training with Matt. and Tom Howard's there. And I'm like, oh, shit, because I hear somebody talking. I'm like, oh, shit, it's fucking Tom. So I go to Tom, you know, hey, how's it going? I see you're doing a lot. I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen you in a bit. You know, shoot the shit with Tom for a little bit. And then I told him about the situation with WWE that, you know, looking into Kevin being at the show. So they leave. And then 20 minutes later, I get a text from Zoe saying she'd love to be a part of it. You know, what needs to be done? I'm like, well, here's the email of the person that contacted us.
Yeah.
And Cross also talked to somebody else about possibly working the show, which would no doubt make us need to go to like the Silverton or something for this show. So it is just kind of blowing up. But also 2 days ago, I get the call from my guy, Rhino, who he's good to go. He might be in Alabama. I might only have to fly him home, which would save a few bucks on what's going to Chris, because obviously we're trying to get the sponsors and we're going to try to donate right. as much as we can, but the costs are going to be the cost. But it's like Rhino, Strickland, Ace Austin, Trey Miguel, you know, our crew, Brittany, Ice, Limelight, you know what I mean? It's like literally I'm probably going to have to do like a 50-man battle royal to start the show because there's so many people. Brooke Havoc wants to work. Well, if I get Taya, unless I make it a triple threat, which I guess I could. But what if Zoe wants to work? I'm not going to put her in a fucking battle royal. It's like, it is just insanity. I just posted on Messenger. We got no escape March 2nd, everybody. Don't forget that show. Don't leave us in an empty arena that's costing us a lot of money. You know, spread out the budget. Come to both shows. One's going to help Chris, but the other's going to help us, you know, and we're going to need some help. You know, on the venue that we got to pay for.
Right.
You know, talk with the Silverton. They seem to be willing in the event of a charity event to knock that price down. You know, hey, we need to know where the proceeds go, which again, yeah, no problem. Hey, here's a link to the websites posting about it. Here's the information, whatever you need, you know. I always joke about having to pay $600 for the fucking sound guy to plug in a plug. But if you're going to knock off the cost and I'm only paying $600 for the sound guy, it's more than worth it. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like that's coming up. And then we got the Full Tilt Mania weekend a month after that. And it's like somehow, some way, Joe fucked up bad. It was like I have two people that I put down for 12 o'clock on fucking Thursday. That I thought was somehow 11 o'clock on Saturday. So that is scrapped again. We had another one after this that we have to scrap again. So it's like I say wrestling at 11 p.m. on Saturday is now 11 a.m. on Thursday. Texas Wrestling Cartel is sliding in to a 2 o'clock spot on Friday. And Manny Lemons is moving down to like 4:30. And then on Thursday, Demand Lucha is going to 8 o'clock. Winner Circle's going to 4:30. FaZe Pro's going to 2. And as I said, Acai Wrestling's going to 11 a.m., which now leaves Saturday wide open. And if you're thinking of running a Saturday at noon before Mania is a great time. And again, we're doing Sunday at noon for the Future Legend Women's Tournament. Well, if Saturday at noon's open and I don't got anybody, well, we'll run a show. You know what I'm saying? It's like there will be somebody running because we know we've seen success at 12 o'clock. Yeah, I know, Mikey. It's like, what the fuck? It's like he hits me up and it was like, dude, I posted this for a week and a half. Oh, I don't really go on Facebook. And I was like, well, your name's on the Facebook group, so you have a thing there you don't ever check. So it's like, fuck, but it's my fuck up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I'm like, I don't understand. And it was like, I'm not saying you're lying, bro. I'm like, let me check and see what I wrote. Because, you know, a lot of times there was messages and it was like, hey, because we had other people on hold who I kind of backed out. So it was like, hey, we're good for this one, but if this opens up, and then all of a sudden it opens up, and then I forgot that I added you to it because it opened up, then the other guy, I'm like, oh, yeah, that one's open because that guy, you know, pulled out. It's like, Jesus Christ. So the first time it happened, I'm like, okay. And now it's like, it happened a second time. I'm like, man, maybe I am getting that Alzheimer's. I don't know. It's like, man, I could tell you what I was doing, you know, when Metallica had a concert in 1985. Or where I was when we were doing something in 1986. But that's what they say, right? Alzheimer's, right. You remember things from the past. You just don't remember a lot of the, you know,
what's happening now.
Yeah, it's like, fuck.
Oh, man. Well, hey, you know.
So I guess that means we're live today. You know, right. You should have let me know. I would have blasted out to the millions and millions of Joe DeFalco fans. Or mainly the ones that hate me and want to hear what I have to say. Because I'm a douchebag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's don't get a bad memory, Joe. Just keep your memory. Keep it active.
Very active, man. My head's spinning, man. It's like, it's, you know, again, the meeting was good. It's a place on the strip, and it'd be a great, cool place. You can see, you know, the skyline in the background. Yeah. And yeah. As I told them, and again, and that's when I found out very, very bad news that March 23rd is the final first weekend of March Madness. Oh. And I'm like, oh, now I know why the fucking prices were fucked on certain things. And then it was like, but because TNA is doing a taping the 14th and the 28th,
right,
I can only do it the week in the middle. And then right. Sammy Callahan's running, which again, thank God I didn't pick the Friday. You know how much rooms are going to be on a Friday?
Yeah.
On the Sunday, it's the tail end of it. So I've already looked. So the pricing is very reasonable. Right. But the place that we're talking to is hosting on their third floor a March Madness party where they're probably going to make some good money. But he said he's not positive, and he's checking. But they may only be doing it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because of the fact that people would be leaving on the way out on a Sunday.
Which makes
sense. So if it opens up, you know, it's a weird setting. It's cool. There's a stage area. The ring would basically be up against the stage. But they also have a lot bar, restaurant type setup. So there's a bar in the back. He said comfortably, if there was no chairs, they would seat 900 people. So, but they have tables, so we could do four top tabletops. We could do a bottle service thing. We could do a huge meet and greet area. They got a green room for everybody to change in. That's great. And it's like, as I pitched to him of, hey, donating the room for us, in terms of that, it's going to get goodwill for you because right. A month later, you're trying to do a watch party that I haven't heard of any other than maybe one downtown. So my job is to now go out there and, you know, I've talked to the Godfather already. So we're trying to see within their budget because, as I told the guy, depending on your budget, a guy like RVD may not want to leave his house for like 10 G. You know what I mean? And, right. Oh, well, that's a little high. And it's like, okay, well, I need to gather an idea. Because, you know, I'm not going to do all this work, pay a guy to come in and we get nothing. But if in turn we're getting the use of that facility for free and now it sets us up for something down the line, because if we do the Chris Bay benefit show there, you're making money, motherfucker. You know yep. what I'm saying? You're going to be making food. You're going to be making drink. There's going to be a lot of people there. It isn't we're running a show and we're going to hope to sell tickets, because we know to the locals, doing something on the strip is a little more difficult. For the right. Chris Bay show, benefit show, people are buying tickets already without knowing the venue. It's kind of like right. the old when we did the show at the Cannery with Liger. You know, nobody knew where the venue was, yet we sold a shit ton of tickets. And 3 weeks before the show, we didn't know where we were at. It was probably 2 weeks before. Same thing when we did right. the Mecca and we got kicked out of Diversion. Nice to see them out of business.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the owner, since he owns Egg Works, crying about egg prices on the news the other day. And I'm laughing. I'm like, motherfucker, an egg Even when it's expensive, an egg, you get what, $4 or $5 for a dozen? You know, what is that, 40 cents an egg? You're charging $15 for a 2-egg omelet. Like, you're charging 9,000% interest. Now you can only charge 7,000% markup. Like, yeah, I feel sorry for the egg guy who's now paying, you know, 80 cents an egg instead of 45 cents an egg. Fuck that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
And you just said the word news too. I'm sure if this particular venue, you know, if everything is in place, I'm sure there will be an opportunity to do, you know, local news promotion. So,
right. And I've already talked to some people there because there's going to be people in town, but it's also goodwill for you. So now we go on Twitter, we go on Instagram, we go on Facebook, we go on the news. Hey, the event's going to be hosted at this place. And this place is also in 30 days or 25 days is hosting a WrestleMania watch party. They're going to have an after party. They're going to have, you know, I've been okayed to have where, hey, there's a, it's, you know, it's going to be a all-you-can-eat buffet. It's going to be an all-you-can-drink package. It's going to be a little steep probably. Obviously, it's on the strip. But right. I have the okay to get some of the top guys who are willing to do it. Like, hey, Kenny King, you want to come hang out? WrestleMania, you're going to have free food and drink. That way there's 5 or 6 or 7 people for the meet and greets and all the other stuff. You're not relying on the on us, on the locals. You're relying on the tourists who are coming in who, again, we know everybody's not going to WrestleMania, so they're going to want to go right. to a cool place. Hey, I get to hang out with these guys. Hey, these guys did the thing for the Chris Bay benefit show. Hey, that's real nice of them. They're really doing something. They're doing it, and it's obvious they're cool with wrestling. Who right. do we want to support? Somebody that's cool at wrestling. They let us host a show in a beautiful spot for free. Let's help give back and support them for what they did.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win, and he 100% agrees. But again, the issue becomes, do they have the March Madness thing going on the Sunday? And if right. not, like, and again, appreciate it 1,000-fold to Silverton, who, you know, I've had a lot of negative things to say because there have been negative things. But sure. but they're willing to stand up for this. And again, we're still there. So at this point, obviously, the positives still outweigh the negatives. But this right. this would be something major. But I think this is going to be a unique type of event. And there's a lot of different stuff that are going on that, you know, it would be cool, kind of like when we did Natural Born Killers and basically downsized, you know, took out the guardrails. And even though when we had Moxley, that maybe it would have been cool to do it at Sam's Town, the idea of this intimate atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's in this giant box overlooking the strip where you're going to get good views of, you know, if you have a camera angle on the stage. He's also pitching, hey, you want more seats, maybe a VIP seat. So you have the rampway, but you put like at the FSW Arena, the way we have the rampway and we have it. Because the way the setup is, you know, there's tables up top and there's, you know, bigger tables and there's lounge couches and there's all these cool things that you can incorporate that to me, a meet and greet is going to be super cool to have there. Right. And an after party is even better to have there. But I'm not going to have an after party there if we did the show at the Silverton because, unfortunately, most people aren't going to now drive onto the right. strip, pay $20 for parking, and all that. So right. it's like, man, my juices are flowing. I got a million things I'm doing. And I keep forgetting that for Mania weekend, it's like, well, now we got 5 shows on Thursday and Friday. I have to be there from 11 o'clock mainly till like 2 in the morning. And since we're supposed to be renting the ring out for the collective, we kind of got to, you know, monitor things there. So right. we're all going to be doing stuff. Some of the venues, you know, some of the people running shows seemingly want some production and do the live stream. So our guys are going to have some work there. Not everybody wants to stream it. It's like you watch it there. Or you don't watch it at all. Or maybe right. they'll put it on YouTube later. So it's like, man, it's like, I got to deal with this. There's a million things going on right now. So it's like, that's cool. But it's like, from, you know, today is January 30th. We got a Future Shock February 8th. That sells itself, family and friends. We just got announced that WWE ID wrestler Jordan Oasis will be there. So this will be his first appearance since he's been announced as an ID wrestler. So trying to make things work. He wrestled with a cartwheel at Mandy Lemon's show at New Year's Resolution. Initially, we thought we were going to have an ID match there at the arena with Oasis versus somebody, maybe even a cartwheel at the time. But Gabe was looking for something with Sam Holloway and Marcus Mathers, which was great. And it was great to see that the fans showed a lot of support in that match.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was kind of iffy because of the fact, like, okay, these aren't FSW guys. Marcus Mathers, it's probably been a few years because he was obviously at the GCW shows. Sam Holloway, he's a big unknown. He's a big unknown. You know what I mean? But, you know, he made his presence felt. But people are aware, obviously, of this ID program. And they had a couple matches before, and it was a true David versus Goliath match, you know? And, you know, the crowd was behind Marcus Mathers. They didn't like Sam Holloway. And there's nothing worse than, you know, having a match where they're not invested in. And it's like, okay, when, you know, when's the next match? When is this going to be over with, you know? So, fortunately, the crowd was behind it. So,
It could always be death. You know, that's the thing. And, but the coolest thing is it speaks to the fans. You know, Vegas fans are very good at being involved. And it also
Not always. Sometimes we get the rest, like, what the fuck? These fans suck.
But
fans, kick it up a notch, will you? Jesus Christ.
But it also speaks to the level of talent that, you know, these guys have. Because, again, in any performance situation, whether you be a band, a stand-up comic, you know, any kind of performer, if you can draw the crowd into it and keep the crowd, you're doing what exactly your talent is, and that is keeping
the crowd. Pop up that New Year's Resolution card. Just pop it up.
Yep.
All right, so you look at it. Okay, Matt Vandegrift, New Japan guy, doing great things. Bryce Saturn, one of the top wrestlers in Phoenix. Then you go to the ID match that sells itself. It's a WWE-sponsored match. Then you got Gregory Sharp, one of the best on the West Coast. Then you got Vinny Pacifico's never wrestled for us, but he has a stellar resume. It's like, oh, okay, that's three. Wow, okay. And then you got our champion and Gypsy Mac, and you got that going on. All right, that's cool. Oh, you got Jimmy Jack's back. And it's like, Jesus, fucking Duke's a fucking monster, you know? And it's like, oh, okay. Then you got this tag thing where you got four or five.
Joe, really quick, too. Don't forget, you also had an antagonistic MK calling out Shogun again.
You know, I think he dedicated that one to him. I know some of the fans were, I got messages. They were a little upset about MK mentioning Shogun in that particular moment. And again, sometimes it's bad taste. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to have to answer for your actions. Then you go down into the also featuring, which I don't even see him there, which is Tyler Bateman, who is a guy who's wrestled in Ring of Honor, and he's done a lot in this business and trained at New Japan and done New Japan stuff. And now he calls out Jay Vidal and then replaces Jay Vidal in the scramble match, which also has Dante King and Remy Marcel and Evan Daniels.
Yep.
But now we have another match, which is Jay Vidal versus Andrew Delgado. And it's like, this card is a show at our arena.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have Danny Limelight on this show. We don't have Ice Williams on this show. We don't have Damian Drake per se on this show. We don't have our tag team champions on this show. And it's like, wow, look at this fucking card. You know, yeah. We don't have the other ID guy, Jordan Oasis, on this show. Then we'll go to February 15th. And it's like, oh, we're going to have Danny Limelight on the show. He's wrestling Joe Braxton. And we have, and it's been agreed upon, we have a major announcement regarding the main event of No Escape. We also have another match that we will be announcing inside the steel cage. Well, you know what? I can announce it now. With everything going on, the FSW Women's Championship, Alice Blair versus Gypsy Mac, will be in the steel cage. So,
great. Yeah.
You know, the FSW champion, still figuring out the dynamics of the match we're going to do, will be inside the steel cage, as will Ice Williams. The question is, what kind of match that we're putting together for it? We have an idea, and we know it's going to be the main event, but we will figure that all out. Fuck it. Why not? It's going to be a war game style match. It's going to be
war games.
So yes. Two guys will start. Another guy will be in it. So that's going to be the match. And the way it's going to be set up is the winner of. Now, not only is it for the FSW Heavyweight Championship, Braxton versus Danny Limelight, it's also for the advantage when the third person has to come in.
Right.
Two-on-one advantage.
Right. So who gets the advantage team-wise for the cage? Yep.
So, you know, Limelight could lose it all before No Escape. You know what I mean?
Hey, but and if you're a fan of Danny Limelight and you've been paying attention, you know, he's got stuff falling apart with the bodega in California. I mean, he's got this going on with Ice here, and it doesn't look too favorable.
And where's his focus? You know, he's yeah. making movies with Snacks from the Luke Cage show.
Yeah.
You know, he might be the newest member of Notorious, you know? Just like the guy Hauser, who wrestles now for Revolver.
Right.
You never know, you know? But it's going to be interesting to see what we got going on there. And it's like, you know, who's going to wrestle Matt Vandegrift? It's like, I don't know who Matt Vandegrift's going to... I'm trying to figure everything out for the 15th. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I haven't figured out this weekend. But then we had the meeting. We had all the other stuff. And now we're to Thursday. And it's like, I only have one match set for February 15th. Like, I know who's going to be there. It's like, there's not a lot of people who want to put their name on the dotted line next to Duke Lawrence for his match.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's good problems to have too. So
yeah, you know. So, you know, we're gonna see. It's like, can't miss a show. There's just too much going on. And it's like, hey, is there any chance that somebody who is going to be at the Chris Bay benefit show on the 23rd? Maybe he wants to make a special guest appearance at No Escape on March 2nd. Maybe he's in the area. Maybe he's in Cali, you know, hop a jet on over for $59. I'll cover it, you know. So, you know, it's just, you know, again, you talk about, man, this thing, man, I'm getting tired. You know, this isn't working right. And you're not getting it. You seemingly don't feel appreciated for what you're trying to do for people. But it's like, and then all of a sudden, again, it's like something happens. And it's like, whether it's the mania thing or, hey, so many people are reaching out because they want to help Chris in any way they can. You know what I mean? And
right.
It's like, you know, it motivates you because sometimes you're like, ah, fuck these motherfuckers, bunch of assholes. But then you see, you know, guys that I haven't worked with in years, like a Shane Strickland reaching out, or a guy like Rhino, who I always told people, like, hey, it's Rhino. Fuck, it's Rhino. You know? Yeah. You know, all of a sudden you walk into TNA and you never really talk to the guy, and he's like, hey, Joe, how you been? Blah, blah, blah. Like he knew me. And now it's like we have phone conversations. Like the 10-year-old who used to watch Chavo Guerrero Sr. with his abuela, it would be like, hey, kid, in 30 years, 40 years, you're going to be hanging out with all these motherfuckers. You're going to meet Chavo Sr. He's going to ask you to tell the story of you watching him on Channel 47 in New York on the Spanish station, and my great-grandmother who fucking loved wrestling and didn't really speak English. And it was like, Tudo, Tudo, which meant harder, because I only knew like the Spanish terms for food, because every time I'd walk in, my grandmother and my great-grandmother were alive, and they would always, the first thing they wanted to do was, what do I want to eat? Right. And I would get all the great Spanish, Puerto Rican food, pasteles, acapurias, you know, empanadas, whatever it was, you know, rice and beans, you know, all they would do was feed you. Like I say, to this day, I've never knew how she recreated it, but she would use Quaker oats and make the best oatmeal I would ever eat in the history of eating oatmeal. And I have no idea how it was done. And it was always so hot, you'd have to eat around the edges. The cinnamon was on top. You know, the way she mixed it, she would have like this giant pan. And I know milk had to do with it, but there was just things that you never got those recipes for. And it was like, that's the first time I saw Terry Funk and Chavo Sr. But then I would watch in New York on, you know, WOR, and it was Bruno Sammartino and stuff. And later on, superstar Billy Graham, who was one of my favorites. And then I go to the CAC and I get to meet superstar Billy Graham. So I understand how it is for these younger guys. And they come in and they see people, because you see on Facebook, oh, you're going to mark out in the locker room and take a picture. Of course, you're not going to take a picture if fucking Rey Mysterio walks into your fucking dressing room. Shut the fuck up. Like you're such a big star that like he's no big deal to you. Like,
I don't know, Joe, Ray, I don't know, but Dom.
Oh, Dom, forget about that. Yeah. And it's just amazing that all these years later, you know, I have a respect in this business. Like, I could call somebody at WWE today. I could call somebody at AEW today. I could call somebody in TNA today. You know, I could call somebody at New Japan, but Rocky Romero will never answer. But I could still call him because I have his number. I won't get a response, but I can go to AAA and I can call Conan and get a response today.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a who's who in the last 2 or 3 weeks of people I've talked to or across who's in WWE, and he's still the same Kevin. You know, it's hard for me to say Karrion Kross. You know, it's Kevin. It's Kev. You know, it's like it's Lacey, but I have to rephrase it and say Zoe. You know what I mean? Because that's how I always know her. Right. Same thing. It's Sepha. It's not Solo.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, man, I step back and I'm like, wow. So at this Chris Bay show, we are the true Forbidden Door. We're going to hopefully have representatives from WWE, representatives of AEW. That's confirmed. We already got two and waiting on Morrison. TNA, we got Trey Miguel and we got Ace Austin. New Japan, we got Matt Vandergriff and Bateman, if I'm trying to get room. TJP, if he's in town and is able to do it. I know he's supposed to be in Japan in March, so I don't know when. Jacob Austin Young, you know, AAA, you know, I'm pretty sure I can hit up Conan and if there's somebody. So it's like, wow, this is crazy how it's all come together. with one little announcement on the Saturday. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it out to our fans, let them know. I'm going to post it on Twitter, and it shouldn't be that big a deal. But hey, you know, just want to get the word out. And then all of a sudden, it's like I can sell out Front Row tomorrow if I put on the tickets today. I probably sell out Front Row today if I put it out today.
Right.
You know, yeah. And it's like, and like I said, the another post that they made, because a lot of times it's like this business will make you sad and make you bitter, make you angry. There's so many emotions you feel when you're in this business. Every day it changes.
Yeah.
But when there's something that happens, it's amazing the support the community has with people of wanting to do stuff. There's a guy I know, he probably did the TNA tryout, maybe met him once. Hey, is it cool if I donate $20 just for the fun? 1,000%, you know, appreciate it. You know, we're trying to figure out a way. Hey, my the only thing I'm afraid of is, can we stream it on Triller without somebody saying, hey, you can't have the WWE guy on. Hey, you can't have the AEW guy on.
Right.
Because that will, without a doubt, be watched by probably the most people we've ever had. But the key is, it's like, hey, we can put out the Zelles and the Cash Apps. And hey, if you're watching, you know, and donate, like, this could be record-breaking numbers. And, right. You know, my legacy in this business has never been, hey, Joe became a millionaire doing this. That would never, that's a pipe dream of a lot of people who think they're going to get into this business and do that. My right. legacy is like, hey, man, that FSW, they got Cross, they trained, and Solo Sikoa, and Zoe, and Chris, and this, and doing something, or with the community where, you know, I smile more when I see Brandy's getting married to a guy he met at our fucking show. Right. And the Furman crew wasn't even a crew. It was Furman and Bradley who knew each other. And they came in, and then all of a sudden they became friends. And now all of a sudden, hey, we're not making the show because we're going to the hockey game with George or whatever it is, because these people socialize.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody who's a wrestler and somebody who bought a season pass ends up getting married and they have a kid. And the kids' class, where a lot of the kids feel afraid or made fun of because they love wrestling, and they go to the kids' class and they make friends that when Bodie's 9 or 10 years old, they know Bodie. And 10 years later, they come to a show because it's like they were friends with Bodie. They can't believe how well he's been doing. And yeah. And all the other people who've gone from the kids' class who now wrestle on the shows. And then VIP comes back and he's doing the Air Force gig. And there's so many people that FSW, like, it's not AEW. It isn't like, hey, we all hung out and met at a WWE show and became lifelong friends. We're the community. Right. We're that community company that everybody, there's so many people that can say, how did we meet? FSW. And it's like, that brings the bigger smile to my face.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Oh, we made an extra $300. That money's going to come and go. Doesn't matter.
Right.
The older you get, the more you see. It's like, hey, knock on wood, my house is paid off, whatever. So I can sell it if I had to, if I needed money desperately and downsized. The kid don't live there anymore. You know what I mean? I got a big house, whatever. It's paid off. Yeah. So it's like, what can we do that does something that people are like, oh, yeah, man, they did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The one thing we're lacking right now is maybe – you know, which we tried earlier, and Ricky's done a good job of that, is getting into the school stuff, you know. Yeah. And, you know, we were the first to go to an assembly and do a bullying, anti-bullying, you know. They brought the whole auditorium out for us, you sure. know. Yeah. And we were there, and we had people talk, and you know, probably made fans from that. And so, and every year, bypassing the gate to give out food and toys and, you know, try to have somebody have a better time, you know. Yeah. You know, I look at Chet Buchanan and it's like, man, that's fucking crazy how much shit that he is able to raise for people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. And somebody posted it, and it's the truth. I don't know anybody who's gotten a bike from Chet Buchanan, but I know a bunch of people who got toys or food from a food drive because we delivered it to that place.
Right.
So yeah. For us, that's what we did. It's like, because why am I giving it to him? We can do it ourselves. We put in the work, you know? And it's like, nobody knows if we, when we donate to Three Square and all these different and Opportunity Village and all the other things, because we don't feel the need. It's like, hey, we're raising money. Hey, you know, one of our guys, Gunner, man, he's not doing well. Let's raise some money. Here's an auction. Here's a raffle. Here's $1,000, whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know. But on this one, man, it could be 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, you know.
Yep.
And it's like, man, I know I can sleep at night. I know I can be like, you know what? I tried and I went out of my way for people. And for the people who don't like me, you know, I don't give a shit. It's like, you know, people don't like a perception. People don't like something they may hear. But most people who sit down and have a conversation with me know one thing. I'm fucking real. You know, it's like, I ain't bullshitting. You know, I'm telling you exactly how it is. You know, why do you think I fight with my kid all the time? Because he don't want to hear that. He don't hear what he don't want to hear what he needs. He wants to hear how great he is. Just like all the wrestlers. A lot of them get a little perturbed when you have to tell them, you know. You get cocky kids. I got a kid now. He's wrestling. He's good. Nice amateur wrestler, Colin. And, you know, I goof on him a little about his match at, with Brett the Thread on New Year's Eve because his match with Watson was very good. I don't believe his match was that good. Oh, well, you need to watch it again. No, bro. It wasn't that good, kid. You know, it's like, so yesterday I ended up having to leave, which was funny, but it was like, I gave Kenny the spiel of why, because Colin was there, of what I didn't like. So he tried to explain it, and I think it was sharp, and it was like, well, you kind of did the same thing we were talking about with Adrian Rain when he decided to dive out, and he fucking landed on his head, and we thought he fucking broke his fucking head, you know? Right. And it was like, Colin did something, and he jumped on the outside to try to take out Brett. And he was like, no, you know, I didn't land like Rainy at all. And Sharp's like, yeah, you kind of did, bro. It was like, you did exactly what you talked about not doing. And it's like, we're goofing on you, but we're trying to help you, kid.
Yep.
You know, when Gregory Sharp, Joe DeFalco, and Kenny King are telling you something, don't fucking blow it off. We understand you're going to make hundreds of rookie mistakes.
Right.
But don't stand there, you know, chest pouted out like, oh, no, you got to check that. No, bro, we're telling you. I don't need to look at something 50 times to tell you you did it wrong. You probably shouldn't have did it. And it didn't work. You know, accentuate your strengths.
Back in the day. You say something like that to Joe, Samoa Joe, be like, okay, get in the corner. And he would chop you a good 10, 20 times until you said,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, you have to have the humility. You have to have the confidence, but you have to have the humility and the willingness to learn.
But you also have to have the balls to be able to accept your criticisms.
Absolutely.
Your family and friends are going to come to the show and tell you how fucking great it was. Because when you bring 20 people to the show, 20 of those people cannot do anything that you did in the ring. To them, it's fucking extraordinary. Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe you whip somebody into a rope and hit a clothesline. Well, anybody who's training after a few months, if you can't whip somebody in a rope and hit a clothesline, you probably should be back on the other side buying tickets to the show.
Yep.
And tough love is the only way. And tough love in 2025 is not tough love that was in 2004. Tough love, goes into the Jerky Boys. Tough love is, he talked very disrespectfully to me. He said my match sucked. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, because it did. Yeah, but Mikey and Tommy and Joey said, oh, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different. But, again, the one of the biggest things is you see the guys who, once they get it, once they understand that, that's when they start excelling.
And right. And Colin reminds me of a young Brett the Threat. Very similar, cocky mentality. Brett came from the MMA world, like, oh, yeah, I'll put somebody in a pretzel and fuck them up. And it's like, well, that's great, Brett. This is professional wrestling. And you have to adapt things. You have to understand different philosophies, different things. And attitude-wise, his wasn't the best. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he's grown into himself. Because he was a man then, there's a difference between being a man and an 18-year-old kid for sure. But in the wrestling business, when you're 25 and you've never done it before, you're still a baby. Yep. It's funny. I'll walk in and there's 17-year-old Bodie scolding the 29-year-old that's training. But you better not talk back to Bodie because he's the fucking man and you're the fucking boy.
Yep.
And he's telling you because he knows what's right and what's wrong. Just because you did it because you saw it on YouTube and you did it in the backyard with your friend. Oh, yeah. Have you had training before? Yeah, I studied YouTube, Like, what? What does that even mean? Yeah, I don't know how to do the moves. I studied it on YouTube. I went over stuff with my friends. It's like, oh, yeah, you get the full rate, bro. Sorry. Bring cash.
All right. Final thoughts as we wrap up for this week.
Yeah, don't forget about our shows before March 2nd. The 15th is going to be huge. Everything's going to be announced. Everything's going to be set for No Escape Apocalypse. We had a little name change on that. But, Ice and the Faction, Limelight and Notorious, they both want war. Well, if you both want war, there's an easy way to solve it. The women's championship match, too much going on. Look at what we saw at the last thing, The Mist, Andrew, Bateman, Dante, even Damian Drake, got involved. Even, tag matches with Ricky Tenacious going after the referee after they're eliminated. So the cage has come at a perfect time. So join us February 15th, Valentine's Day Massacre. Johnny Royal, the former Jonathan, as the referee. He has sold 51 tickets for Future Shock. So it's going to be a packed house for that one. So, we look forward. 5:00 start on February 8th, the day before the Super Bowl. So, I don't even care. Man, the biggest football fan in the world. It's like, man, the Bills and the fucking Lions lost. Fuck. And then I was rooting for the Redskins in the last game, so they lost. So I had the three teams I wanted to win. Fucking mush strikes again.
So who do you want to win the Super Bowl, Joe, so we know who to put the actual money on?
There's something about the Eagles I don't like. Like, the Chiefs always win. They seem to get the breaks. Right. I still believe Mahomes might be the best quarterback in football history. So it's like, well, if they're going to repeat, I felt they kind of gave them a little. I watched the game. Everybody's crying about that fourth down call with Buffalo. Well, the guy on third down made the first down, and they called him short. And then on fourth down, the other referee called it a first down. The other guy didn't. And then they chose the other guy's spot. And it was like, I think the third down play was more of a first down and got it more because when he stretched out, he was on, his body was actually over the line. So it was like, so it was really disappointing. You know, Josh Allen played great. I like Buffalo. I've been wanting him to win for a long time. You know, the Chiefs, I loved them when they were that team trying to get there because I thought they were so great. Now that they're there, the Lions were the team that I was like, man, I love the coach. He's so player coach guy. You know, guys they wrote off like Goff, the quarterback, was like, oh, he's a fucking bum. Now all of a sudden he's getting $50 million a year. And it's like, oh, this guy's great. You know, so the day before the Super Bowl, we got Future Shock right after that, the day after Valentine's Day. So all you guys who bought your girls some nice shit on Valentine's Day, when they dumped you that night and you need something to do on the 15th, boom, right over to FSW.
There we go. There we go. And again, you know, no escape after that. And then Chris's benefit show after that. Just never... seems
and then
to,
Mania coming up after that.
So it never ends. So, I mean, that's a great thing.
Make a movie about it. Call it The Never-Ending Story. Never been done before.
That's right. And with that, this episode will end. And we'll be back with you guys next time. Until then, everybody. Happy wrestling, everybody.